Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
A lot can happen in 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. United Healthcare Tri-Term medical plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High-quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of Don't Blame Me. You can hear that fantastic giggle. We have Lindsay here from the Almost 30 podcast.
Thanks for having me.
Oh my gosh. Also, by the way, I think I've taken one of your SoulCycle classes.
Really?
I think you didn't come up and say hi. I mean, no. Like a while ago. How long have you been teaching?
4 years.
Okay. Yeah. Because I shot a movie in Santa Monica and I asked Krissa, I was like, does she teach in Santa Monica a lot? And she was like, yeah. And I was like, and yeah, no, I've been.
That was me.
Yeah. I don't really remember. It was like 7 a.m.
Yeah.
That's and I went straight to work and then I probably didn't say hi. I probably skipped the cool down. I was that asshole and I was like, deuces. And I left.
Bye bye.
And I showered and like beat all the moms there.
That's actually the number one thing at SoulCycle. That's kind of like, we need like rules and regulations because the shower lines.
Oh my God.
And like just the politics in the shower lines.
Oh yeah. You can cut. There are no rules.
There
you can
are
get rid
zero
of people's
rules.
Shit.
Someone will be like, excuse me, I'm so sorry. Like I have to take a shit. And they'll be like, oh yeah, go ahead. And then she'll slip into the shower stall. And they're like, wait. She's like, no, I'm going to take a shit in the shower stall.
I'm just going to poop in the shower. I'm just going to do it here.
It's happened.
It is vicious. Would you ever do it?
What?
Poop in a shower?
No.
Someone did it once.
Are you fucking kidding me?
That's SoulCycle. We still don't know who it was.
At Santa Monica?
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Wow.
We have a feeling, but we don't know for sure. Because there are no cameras in the bathroom.
But they not like stomp it down the drain?
No, we had to have our cleaning staff go in and with a little shovel.
That was a thing on Broad City.
Oh my God. Really?
Because Abby... Yeah, Abby worked at a fitness place and she had to go clean up the poop because somebody had pooped in the shower.
Stop.
But it's like a statement. Do you know what I mean? Like, because you don't know whose it is.
It's a fuck you too.
It's like a little bit of, I don't.
Like marking your territory. Kind of, but like.
But you have to like position yourself. If you're in a shower stall, you have to like consciously
relax
squat.
Relax your body enough.
You have to.
And you got to get
open
like
your
down.
Cheeks.
Yeah, you got to get down.
Yeah. I know.
Wow.
It's all right. I feel bad because they're probably really troubled.
Well, or they could have, what is it, colitis, where it just comes out and you can't move and
totally.
It just happens.
Yeah, but if it's solid.
It was solid. It was like the banana one that Oprah says you should have. It's like,
well, good for them.
It's like a banana.
That's great.
Wow.
That's how I learned about my poop from Oprah and
Dr. Oz.
Dr. Oz,
yeah.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Wow. Okay. Well, I don't know how to intro you past poop. Melissa's here as always, guys.
Hello.
I wasn't even going to try and be like, well, speaking of
being the shit.
Yes.
That's perfect.
Okay, great. Perfect. Love it. This is an advice podcast. It's called Don't Blame Me. I probably already said that. And you guys call in, you leave us voicemails, and we're going to give some advice. And the phone number, if you want to call in, is 310-694-0976. And for our international listeners, we know you have problems too, except one of your problems is not Donald Trump. Hopefully. God bless you, Canada. You can email us an audio file at meganpodcast@gmail.com. And yeah, oh God, I didn't even breathe that whole fucking time.
It was pretty good.
And if you're watching this right now, guys, you can see my nice heating pad on my abdomen. So if I grimace, it's probably not your question. It's probably the cramps that are happening in my body.
You poor thing.
Yeah, I'm falling apart, it seems. Shall we start?
Let's do it.
Let's go.
Hey, Megan, I'm 23, calling from the Bible Belt. Not that that has anything to pertain to my call. But, so I have this best guy friend. We've been friends since I was in high school. We kind of had a flirtationship and we like hooked up kind of casually throughout high school. And then, throughout college, we actually randomly started dating, I guess you'll call it. On New Year's Eve, we were both drunk, like plaster drunk, and just decided that, you know, we both really liked each other and decided to date. We both have real feelings for each other, but are kind of too stupid to admit it. He likes to tell me all the time when he's drunk that we're going to get married, and then he can't picture his life without me, and then he's so thankful to have me around. Is he actually meaning that, or am I just the girl that's constantly around? The sex is great. We have a great like friendship still, even like there's no weirdness or anything like that. I still hang out with him regularly. It's never been weird. We'll occasionally like get drunk and hook up, but like it never much goes past the hooking up other than the one time. So any advice? How do I don't know, get out of the friend zone and I guess into the end zone or the relationship zone?
I mean, is
was
she
that me at 23?
Oh really?
I'll begin by just saying, she's 23.
Yeah.
And I just feel like when I was 23, I thought as a woman, mm-hmm. that I was just so emotionally evolved, mm-hmm. more so than any boy I was with. So I almost felt like she was speaking for him, like, mm-hmm. well, like, you know, he tells me he wants to like be with me forever and whatever, whatever. But like the actual reality of what's happening is that you're hooking up when you're drunk and that's it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And he's only expressing what you think is truth when he's drunk. And the thing about the drinking, and trust me, I could drink anyone under the table at that age. You know, like I was fucked up mm-hmm. most of the time. But what tends to happen is like you're drinking, you get loosey goosey. I mean, I remember falling in love with people that I would see in the daylight and I'm like, ah, you know what I mean?
Ooh, like, yeah.
But then the days that follow, I would always be pretty low and depressed. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't necessarily because of what happened. It was because I was hungover. My body wasn't able to recover. I was dehydrated. I didn't get enough sleep. So like these symptoms of depression would set in and then my anxiety would rise. And then I would begin to like think about things that weren't really real about the relationship between me and that guy. And I just don't think boys will ever care as much, at least at that age, about what's going on.
Yeah.
So for him, it's like, we're going to have sex and have a good time when we're drunk. But otherwise, like he's like a little prince. He's like at the very beginning stages of building his kingdom and he has no, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I think it could be one of two things. So I think it could totally be like, you guys are only hooking up when you're drunk. And I definitely like, I don't know. Everyone's like been there where you're like, okay, cool. This is kind of like, it's kind of like the same deal that you make. You're like, if we turn 40 and both of us are like not married, like we'll just get married to each other. So it's kind of like, if you're not interested in other people that night, like you can always like, you know, get jiggy with somebody that you already have been with. But at the same time, I think like sometimes drinking really lowers your inhibition. And like, you can sometimes be more honest and upfront. Mm-hmm. Like my boyfriend, when we started dating, the first time he told me he loved me, the first maybe 9 times was drunk. And then like
9 times?
Yeah. First like, he said it a lot. And I was like, please stop saying that. Please stop saying that. I was like, shh, 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 shh. And he tried to tell me, the first time he tried to tell me sober, I was like, hey, let me cut you off right here. Why don't we be exclusive? And he was like, yeah, okay, fine. I was like,
step at a time.
I'll give you this right now. And he was like, okay, I've already been doing that. I'm like, but we know I haven't. So, that at least like for us, like I think we were probably a lot more honest with our feelings at that point. And for him and I, similar to how they were or they are, him and I were really good friends. So like it took kind of a level of like just taking the edge off because both of us were really afraid of fucking up our friendship. Because like, I think there's also comes with like, I'm very quick to like, not quick to like, but most of the people that I've really fallen for have been friends. But I think like, that tends to be more of a slow burn and you get to be a little bit more guarded because you think like, oh, well, if we didn't already like right off the bat when we first met, like be like, we're into each other. Like, are we actually really that into each other? Like, why is it these feelings like took so long to develop? Like that insecurity can come on. So I would just say like, I think you need to like evaluate his sober, like how he treats you when he's sober, because I think if he treats you kind of just like a friend, like fuckboy thing. But if he's like nervous around you and like is just, I don't know, like that kind of like crush thing and like it's a little awkward, I'd say that's probably better because that means like he's thinking like, oh, okay, what I said last night, like that's how I feel. But like, let me see how she's kind of responding to it. So I think you need to like let your guard down and not be cool girl and just like say how you feel sober and start that conversation. And who knows how he'll feel, but like, I think the fact that you guys have kind of remained friends is a good sign, but there, yeah, I think you've got a 50-50 chance that he's.
Yeah. And I think like maybe even inviting him to do things sober.
Yeah.
Like, hey, like going to pick pumpkins, like whatever it is, like just like want to come along, like very casual. And I don't think it's a cool girl. I think it's just like, you know, thinking of him in ways. So like, sometimes I feel like if girls kind of pour their heart in a moment, guys don't know how to metabolize information. So even if it's just kind of letting him know when you both are sober, like, hey, you want to grab lunch? Like, or whatever, maybe she'll get a sense of kind of where his head and his heart is at.
Yeah. But cause you might each just be like taking out your territory, waiting for the other person to make the first move. Mm-hmm. And so I think how he responds to you, like you don't have to preface it as a date, but like asking him to go to lunch and his response there, then you'll be able to be like, okay, do I want to tell him I have actual feelings for him? Like you're going to be able to tell if he has those feelings for you back. But I think, I had plenty of relationships start from like being drunk, hooking up and then like that. But then I also had a lot of like drunk hookup friends that didn't go anywhere like that. Mm-hmm. So I think in order to preserve your friendship too, I would just do it sooner rather than later. Cause it just gets messy.
Completely agree.
It's like, what if he gets drunk and hooks up with some other girl? And then you're like, oh, but I thought this. Yeah. You have to have those conversations sober. Otherwise nobody will remember. And then you can't hold anyone to anything.
Completely agree.
Yeah. Unless you want to blackmail them. Kidding. Don't
do that.
don't do that.
Don't take that advice.
No, don't take that advice. But let us know how it goes.
Yeah.
I'd love to hear what happens. Yeah. To be 20. I still feel like I'm 23. Did you know I'm not 23?
You're not 23?
No. I always think I'm 22 or 23. 25. What happened in 24? 24 was a shit year.
I can't tell you what I was doing then. So I don't know. What you were doing.
I don't know what I was doing either.
I think so. I think too, just the last thing, like, I think at that age, I was so living for that other person, whatever they were, whether it was mm-hmm. a fuck buddy, whether it was a boyfriend, whether it was someone I was crushing on. And so much of my headspace was just kind of making sure that they were okay. That, like, I don't mm-hmm. know, I was just all consumed. So what I would say too, is that, like, I do think guys kind of like, find it attractive when girls are like doing their thing. So yeah. like take care of yourself yeah. throughout this thing. Like, so, you know, if you have something you want to pursue or a project you're working on, whatever it is, it doesn't matter. I think for him to see you doing those types of things too, will kind of like make him perk mm-hmm. up like, oh, what are you doing over there? You
yeah,
know?
Yeah. Cause friends, there can be like a lack of urgency of like sealing the deal when you're friends yes. with somebody. Yeah. Cause you're like, oh, they're always around. Mm-hmm. Maybe you're not always around.
Completely.
Maybe you're not. You can lie too.
Yeah.
I would always lie about like,
lie.
I'm out of town. I'm hella busy.
Yeah.
Super busy.
Sitting at home in your sweatpants.
Telling all my neighbors. Yeah. I'm like, if anyone
else. Yeah. No, I did that to my boyfriend. I was like, I'm so sorry. I'm going to be out of town. He's like, I have your calendar still hooked up to my phone because he used to work with me. And he's like, you're not anywhere. And I was like, oh, okay. Well,
stop being a stalker.
Exactly. That's what I was like. Get the fuck out of here, babe. Deuces. He still will not leave it down. He's like, I was a fuck boy.
I thought you were going to say he still does not leave me alone.
No, no, no. I'm annoying now. I'm going to be like, hello, hang out with me. And he's like, shh. Stop talking so much. Well, okay. You're going to be fine. Let us know what happens. Yeah. Would love to hear it. Mm. On to the next.
Hey, Megan. I'm 20 years old. I'm a junior in college. And in my freshman year of college, I met the love of my life. Like, I love him more than I've loved anyone in my life. I mean, I don't know, like, I want to marry him, and I just get along with him so well. We like connect on so many levels, and we have great conversations. We've been dating for almost 2 years, and I'm still just madly in love with him. And this past summer we moved in together in an apartment, and it's been like great. Like, I still love him. Like, he like, obviously things annoy me, but like, I'm still just like so in love with him. But like, being on our own, like, you know, we kind of like struggled a little bit, and I guess we both started just like fast food and like not being able to like
eating
really afford like healthy groceries all the time. Well, I mean, we could, but like, it was just so much to just go and get food, and we gained like a lot of weight. And I've always been insecure about my body, so I have recently just, like, changed, like, the way I eat. Like, I'm eating healthier, and I'm going to the gym every day, and I'm, like, trying to work and make myself, like, feel better about myself and feel healthy. But he's not really following that, and I've kind of become less attracted to him physically, which kind of makes me upset because I really love him, and I love his personality, and I love, like, everything about him, but I'm just becoming, like, less attracted to him, and that makes me upset. And I try to like offer to go, like, for him to go to the gym with me and offer to like go on walks together or something. We have a puppy, so I always ask if he wants to go on a walk, and he never really wants to. I make him food, but he doesn't eat it. And I really don't know what else to do because I love him and I want to stay with him, but I don't really know what to do if I'm not like physically and sexually attracted to him. So if you have any advice about this, please let me know. Thank you. Bye.
Oh, yeah.
My heart.
Ugh. Yeah. Okay. So my first thing is I would cut yourself some slack, because I don't necessarily think it's an appearance thing. At least for me, I think like it's taking care of yourself. There's nothing less attractive than somebody doesn't take care of themselves. Also because like as women too, like you kind of like, we're very good at seeing big pictures, where if I'm like, okay, if you're not taking care of yourself right now, how are you taking care of yourself in 10 years? And also, how are you going to take care of kids? Like, how is this going to be? It's just, it's not valuing your life. It's just like, I don't know. I think like being very unhealthy is just, it's selfish. And in that sense, when you're in a relationship, you're like, I don't, it's not what I want for you. I want you to want to be around for as long as possible. But I mean, I don't know how you bring that up.
Well, I think too, I mean, 20 years old, so young. And I feel like boys at that age are, one, still so close to the time when they were having to answer to a mom.
Mm-hmm.
And so like when, you know, the girlfriend is, even if she's saying it in the nicest way and it sounds like she's just like, I love you so much, like, please.
Mm-hmm.
I just feel like all they hear is kind of the demand and just the like nagging. The bossing around and the nagging. Yeah. And so I do think men feel empowered when they kind of find the answer on their own.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know necessarily what that would look like in this context, but I would just encourage you to continue doing what you're doing and maybe settle down on asking him to do all the things with you and just see if that makes a difference. Cause I have a little brother too, where like, if I tell, I'm like, hey, you should really go to like this meditation course. And he's like, no. And literally I stopped saying it for 3 weeks. He signed up.
Yeah.
I'm like, huh?
Yeah.
Cause like they have this sense. They're very smart. Ego. Yeah. It's the ego. And they just like, they know what they should do.
Mm-hmm.
But if anyone's telling them to do it, it's very hard for them to do that. But, yeah, I completely agree with you. I think her not being attracted to him is the fact that he's not taking care of himself. I don't think it's necessarily the physical fully. That's so hard.
Yeah. I think if you feel like bringing it up to him, I think the way to do it is just having like a conversation with him and being like, hey, you know how much I love you and I really like value our relationship and it means so much to me. I've been taking control of like really focusing like on my health because like I see a future together with us. Like I want, like, if you want to have kids, like I really want to like be around a long time together. And like, I really want you to value your health in that way too. And I think if you need to say something, say that. I also agree. I would say hold back on saying stuff. I would, if anything, be more complimentary to him and how like, I think you're so cute. I think you're so handsome. I love you, blah, blah, blah. Because I think like it's, you need to give some sense of like, it might, for him, he might feel like if he can tell that you're less attracted to him, he might feel like a lost cause. Like he might feel like already checked out. But if you reassure him, like, no, I still find you really attractive. Like, I still think you're so handsome. Like, I still like, I love you so much. And you can give him those compliments. Like, I'm so much more likely to like want to dress cute if someone tells me I look pretty. Do you know what I mean? When I'm wearing that. But like, if I don't, there is a positive reinforcement that it kind of makes you like want to do that. Or even like my boyfriend, like I'm way more into going to the gym than he is. But like, I would just like on a Saturday, I'd be like, oh, I'm like going to go work out. And he's like, oh, what, you're not going to hang out? I'm like, well, come with me. Like, come with me and come do this kind of thing. And so doing that, and I would also just say, I think, I don't know, maybe the first conversation you have with him, he might be depressed. Like he might have like something that there might be something else bigger there. And, having that conversation with him, I think would be a good one to have, like just checking in emotionally before you say anything again, about like him exercising.
Mm-hmm.
But then I also think there's like no better motivation for him to go work out when he sees how happy you are with working out and like how great that you're feeling. Like as soon as I started really getting into like working out, my boyfriend was like, I'm gonna go to the gym because I feel like you look real good and I feel like I don't look as good right now. Like I'm gonna start going. And I was like, okay.
Smart man.
Yeah. And I was like, that's nice. Like he was like jealous of the fact that like, he's like, I swear to God, you're fucking getting stronger than I am.
And then he's like jacked in 3 days. Yeah,
exactly.
And
you're like, he's like, I lost 4 pounds by running on the treadmill for 35 seconds. Like, cool, dude. Nice. So happy for you. That's awesome.
Funny thing happens to girls when we work out too much. We hold on to fat.
Exactly. Like, I love this.
I agree.
I think like giving him, just giving him some breathing room. Like you said, I think he'll probably end up wanting to do that. But I would check in with him emotionally first.
And I would also just check your like body language and the day-to-day with him. Cause I remember just feeling a certain way about an ex of mine when we were still together. And it's like, I would create distance.
Yeah.
And I really think if you want to create more connection, like if he's sitting on the couch watching TV, maybe you like hop on his lap and just grab his attention, just be like, I love you. Mm-hmm. And then it's just like, you know, listen, like, I love you so much. Like, just kind of getting into it and touching him so that he feels wantable, I guess. Yeah. And really, like, showing it in that way, yeah. I think could be good.
Yeah, I think it'll be good for you too, because I think you're holding so much weight in the fact that you're... the sexual attraction is not there, but like you can be sexually attracted to somebody from not just like their appearance.
Yes.
But I think when you tie those two things together, I think it becomes, I think it just becomes really hard, because like you can get like turned on in so many different ways, not just like by abs, like by like a really stimulating conversation, or like if someone's so funny, nothing will like rip my clothes off faster than like a guy who's hella funny.
I could not agree more.
Or like anything like that. Yeah. Best of luck and congratulations on your like health journey.
Truly, that's so awesome.
Getting fit as fuck.
Yeah.
Also, they're in college. I think I gained 25 or 35 pounds in college.
20.
And I went for 1 year and maybe 3 months. On to the next.
Hi, Megan. I'm 21 and I've been in a long-term relationship since I was 15 and I'm happy and we love each other very much. And we're kind of I just graduated from college and he's still in college. So, you know, we're just kind of going through life together. We support each other through a lot. So I'm very happy there. And I've over the years kind of figured out that I am bisexual and I've never actually said that out loud, except for right now. So I've only ever told one person, and it's an online friend, and we're really close, like we talk all the time, and she was really great about it. But I just don't know whether I should come out or not. I like my boyfriend's not homophobic and my family really isn't either, but I just don't know if it will, like, you know, make things different or weird, or you know what I mean, because there is so many stigmas and being bisexual and people assume so many things of you. And I have no desire to like cheat on my boyfriend or, you know, do anything, you know, like bad or whatever. I just don't know whether, you know, and like Pride was this summer and it's Bisexual Visibility Month, and it's just, there's so many things and I wish I could be a part of that community, but I just don't think I'm in the place in my life right now to kind of do that. And I just don't know really what to do. And I feel like a lot of people have this idea that like you should come out and like that's the only way to be like authentic, but I just don't know if that's true for me right now. And I just don't really know what to do. So if you could give me advice or maybe even just anything to help me kind of be validated in my own choices, because there is so much out there that is different and everybody has something different to say. That'd be really wonderful.
She sounds so sweet.
So sweet.
I want to give her a hug. I mean, I feel like we've said it on the show so many times, like you don't have to come out if you don't want to. Mm-hmm. I actually have two friends who were in the exact same position, who are in like crazy long-term relationships. Mm-hmm. And both kind of came, I don't want to say came to terms, but like both started identifying, like self-identifying as being bisexual. And they both struggled with it because it was the same thing of being like, well, I don't want this to, which it shouldn't. Oh my God. I can't ever say this word. I could have made it up.
Delegitimize.
Yeah. Like that relationship that you're in. Yeah. So, and both of them did end up coming out and they're both still with the boyfriends that they were mm-hmm. with when that happened. And I think like, it sounds like you kind of are recognizing that. I know it does sound like you're pretty torn because you want to be involved in the community. And then, but you also at the same time, don't feel as if you're in the right place in your life. I think you got to have like a conversation with yourself and figure out why you feel like now's not the right time. Do you feel like it's not the right time because you're in a relationship with him? And that being said, do you think that maybe you don't totally see yourself with him for the rest of forever and that you'd kind of want to hold off on that for a while and then explore that later on in life? Or do you feel like you're not allowed to feel like that because you're in a relationship? Right. And like, if you want to be with him forever, then technically, if that's what you're basing this off of, then there's never going to be like, quote unquote, good time to do it. But I think that I always would say is, as long as you're in like a safe environment, like physically, emotionally, that whenever you decide if or when to come out, you give everybody in your life, like give them the benefit of the doubt that like they're going to want to learn. Like there are these some stereotypes and things like that. But if you love these people in your life and you really respect them and they respect you, like give them the chance to show you that they're not going to be small-minded. Mm-hmm. But I would probably say.
No, I think that's spot on. And too, like, so you've been with him since you were 15, and I can just imagine that you are not, you're getting to know yourself more and more and how beautiful that is. And then to be able to share that with someone that you love and is kind of part of what being in a relationship is about. So just to echo what you said, it's like, give them the opportunity to grow. You know, it's mm-hmm. going to be, it'll be interesting to see how he reacts. I'm sure that there's fear there on your part, but you know, we're all kind of learning the learnings that we're supposed to be learning in mm-hmm. this moment. I would encourage you to with your family when it feels right, because I don't know. I just think that this is a moment in time that is really important for women to be just living truthfully. And that doesn't mean you have to come out. That doesn't mean you need to shout it from the rooftops, mm-hmm. but just making sure that, you know, the way you're living is kind of sending the message, the vibration out there that of what you want to attract in return. So yeah. If you're kind of holding back and not being yourself, I can imagine you might be receiving some things or people come into your life that are like, wait, why is this happening? Or mm-hmm. what is this challenge? So just really opening up that block, I think will be helpful. And that can look exactly how you want it to look. You know, there's no one way to come out or live your life in that way. But yeah, I think give them the opportunity, you mm-hmm. know?
And if you're afraid of what that might mean and what that might like do, and that, I think like if he isn't going to be cool with that, or if anybody's not going to be cool with that, they're like, that doesn't change you. Do you know what I mean? Like your, however much you want this, like your sexuality and your gender doesn't define you, but it's a part of you and it's a part of who you are. And the people in your life should love you and accept you in spite, regardless, mm-hmm. because of being who you are. And if you feel like you have to hide that, you're going to, eventually that insecurity that person wouldn't love you if they knew those other things. It's mm-hmm. just like any other secret. If you feel like you're not being like exactly said, like if you don't feel like you're being truly yourself, I just don't want you to then kind of be waiting for the other shoe to drop of being like,
yeah,
you love me right now, but what if this, this, and this? And I don't, you guys have been together for so long and like he's not homophobic, which like, not to applaud fish for swimming, but woohoo. Mm-hmm. But I think you need to do what is going to make you happy. Like you have to focus on your happiness in the moment and then also focus on your happiness like 5 years from now. Like that's why I try and do both when I like live. I mean, I always live most of the time. But like when I'm like thinking about decisions yeah. I make, I'm like, what's going to make me happy in the moment? And also what's going to like make me happy or work towards making me happy on like a 5-year scale of things. So sometimes that means putting things off and addressing it later down the road when I'm like, my brain's at capacity. I can't deal with this right now. But then sometimes it's like, okay, cool. Yeah. It's going to make me, if I give myself a little slack in the moment, then that means 5 years. If I do something later before the 5-year mark, I'll still be good by then. So I think you just have to evaluate that. And I think it's great that you've already talked to your friend that you have via the internet. How millennial of you.
So millennial.
So great.
So jealous.
And I think there's also lots of ways to get involved in the LGBTQ+ queer community that aren't so forward facing. Mm-hmm. So you can do, there's like lots of volunteer work that's like done over the phone or done by like organizing things. If you have friends who are in the queer community and you don't quite feel ready to self-identify as being a part of it, maybe just be like, hey, can I come along and help volunteer with mm-hmm. you? Can I use that? Like not to be like your like beard covered or whatever, but like having someone else to kind of like bring you into that community so you can express your support as an ally until you feel like you're ready to, like, as like a member, which I think would be a good call.
Yeah. And any one of those conversations is not as bad as you build it up to be in your mind. You know, as time passes, I'm sure just the anxiety around it can build and build. But I mean, any type of conversation where you are just more revealing your truth, I think will in the long run just kind of take that weight off of your shoulders. Yeah.
Do it when you're ready, if you ever want to at all. Doesn't matter.
Absolutely.
It's up to you. Okay, guys, it's time for a break and we will be right back.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
In our live stream, our listeners are always recommending and talking about books, so we're so excited about Book of the Month because this is something that our listeners are going to love.
This is a brand that I've been familiar with for a long time. I like love watching people talk about it. I love seeing what books people are reading and like what books they have available. And I love everything about it. So I'm so excited for someone who like, you know, the ease of getting into a book, a lot of it can feel like really daunting. So to have like a service where it's like, you're going to get like high quality hardcover books, which that's my preferred way to read, at incredible prices, but also curated. So it's like amazing, cool, wonderful, great. This is, it's kind of like a straight shot into that, and something that Book of the Month you can do over and over and over again. And one of the great things about it is the longer you are part of the program, the cheaper the books get.
Book of the Month's mission is to help readers discover new books they love and promote the work of emerging authors. One of the amazing things about Book of the Month is that every aspect of Book of the Month experience is designed to be fun and special for readers. First of all, the books come in a bright blue box, which is very pretty. Me and Megan were just talking about them. There's also a fun app to pick your books and track reading progress. And as well, there are reading challenges and rewards.
And Book of the Month makes it really easy to decide what book to read next, which for me is like the biggest hurdle. I love when other people make choices for me, especially when they're good choices. And I'm like, cool, I can trust you. So each month, the editorial team reads through hundreds of new titles and they pick some of the best new books for you to choose from. All of the books are so good, you can't go wrong. And I mean that wholeheartedly. When we were picking like our selects for this, I was like, wait, I like all of them. This is hard. And I literally coordinated with Melissa and I was like, okay, so these are like my top ones. I'm assuming they will be yours. So don't pick the same one as me so then we can swap afterwards. And that's what we did.
So we got The Ministry of Time by Killian Bradley. And we also received The Return of Ellie Black by Emiko Jean.
The Ministry of Time is like, people are calling it like, if you're a fan of Outlander and like spy novels or time traveling books, it's quoted from Town and Country saying it's really innovative, fun storytelling. The Ministry of Time is definitely for you, and listed as 45 of the must-read books for spring 2024. And then Harper's Bazaar also said part time travel romance, part spy thriller, and 100% multifaceted joyride. When I tell you that, I was like, sold.
We're also excited about The Return of Ellie Black, and this one is about a missing girl who returns, but that isn't the end of the story. It's only the beginning. We both like a detective book. This one is 20 years since Detective Chelsea Calhoun's sister vanishes. Ever since, Chelsea has been searching for signs for closure for other missing girls. But happy endings are rare in Chelsea's line of work. Which, that sounds so intriguing. And I'm looking forward to reading this novel so much.
Can't wait. And we're so excited to usher in this new sponsor. And we know y'all are already going to love this. Plus, we've been recommended this so many times. Mm-hmm. So we've already got fans in you. Try the service yourself at bookofthemonth.com. And you can get your first book for $5 with code PETALS. That is your first book, $5 at bookofthemonth.com using code PETALS.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Want to get a chiseled look in the jawline? Sculpt and shape your jawline with added volume from Juvederm Volux XC. Juvederm Volux XC is an injectable gel specifically designed to be robust enough to improve moderate to severe loss of jawline definition. And it is the first and only hyaluronic acid filler approved for the jawline. Add volume to your jawline for a chiseled look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you. Visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ. The future isn't scary. Not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Are we ready to hop on to the next one?
We are.
I am 21, almost 22, and I recently dropped out of college after my third year. College was really, really tough for me. I never really wanted to go. I just kind of felt like it was what I was supposed to do, and then I felt like I couldn't stop going because I didn't want to disappoint anybody. But then I basically, like, had a mental breakdown spring quarter, and then I had to withdraw, and then now I'm deciding I don't want to do it in the fall. So I dropped out, which I'm feeling really, really good about. I know that it's what I was supposed to do, and I'm not supposed to be in school right now. But now I don't know what the fuck I'm doing with my life. I feel like my whole life plan has just kind of been flipped around. And now I have no idea where I'm heading, and I'm trying to imagine what sort of job that I could do that doesn't take a college education, and that's something that I'm actually interested in. I know that you did not go to college, and honestly, that's something that I took into consideration when I was dropping out, just knowing that you're confident, successful, and didn't do that step that a lot of other people do. So I guess I was just wondering if you had any advice on how to cope with not being in college when all of your friends are, or, you know, avenues that I can take to try to find out what I want to do with my life. I don't really know. I just don't really know who else to ask because all of my friends are in university. But if you have any advice, that'd be really wonderful. Your podcast is the best. I listen to it every week. I love you. Bye.
Did you go to college?
I did. Okay. But I don't think I needed to.
Yeah. I think...
I'm not saying don't go to college. Yeah. I'm just saying that, like... And I have a brother who is not in school anymore. And I just don't know if it's for everyone. And I don't think the... One, I just think there should be more time and space to kind of really feel whether it is for you mm-hmm. or not. We're just told you go from high school to college mm-hmm. to real world.
Yeah.
And I just think there can be more space and time. Maybe a different form of schooling
yeah.
will present itself for her and feel more authentic to her in a few years.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, gosh. Okay. I have a couple things to unpack with this. So first of all, I dropped out of college because I was like terribly bullied. Like it was like, I was able to make enough money. The whole deal was no one in my family wanted me to drop out, but I'd been financially independent since I was 18. So, I was like 19 when I dropped out. So for me, I got terribly bullied, like so bad, was like, it was awful. So I left because of that. And I was able to leave because I was able to like financially sustain myself. I didn't leave because like I had a better gig.
Right.
Technically, like I did have a better gig because I wasn't paying for school anymore. And I was making money from like doing all the internet things that I was doing. So I didn't like drop out in this like sense of confidence, like great, cool. Did it to preserve my mental health, which you said that you had like a mental breakdown and all that stuff. If I had been going for anything besides acting, I would have left school, gotten an apartment, and then gone to a different college and finished my degree there. Just not doing the college experience. Because that's the thing I have an issue with. I hate the fucking fact that college doesn't just mean a fucking degree. It now means a sorority, and it means friends, and it means living on campus. It means like an apartment. It means like dining hall. It means this social aspect of college, which that's what I had an issue. Like that's what I couldn't deal with. And that's what I had a really hard time with.
Yeah.
And one of my best friends, she's 2 years younger than me, had the like exact same experience that I did. And she dropped out and then finished school by living in an apartment and like got her degree. And that's what college is. But we put so much fucking pressure, which the real like question here that you have was how to like deal with it with your friends and everything, which I understand because I got, I love my friends to death. I got zero support for them from when I was dropping out because they were having great experiences and it came from a place of love that they wanted me to have the same experience. But I was like, it's not happening. Like, and now I have like PTSD, and I'm not like throwing it around, like diagnosed PTSD from this fact. Like I can't even walk onto a college campus without being like, oh, I'm hyperventilating. Like this is like it. And so for me, it was like, I'm a lost cause with college. It's not this. It's like, yes, it was these people and this school, but it's like, I can't do it at all anymore. But like, they wanted me to have that really good experience because they were having it. Yeah. So it wasn't like a judgment. It was like, I want you to have this too. But if what you want to do requires a college degree, you don't have to go back to that school and you don't have to like live on campus and do that all again. You can have it like either live at home or have an apartment or do whatever you need to do and finish your degree to do whatever job that you want to do. Mm-hmm. If you don't know what you want to do, classes are a really great way to figure that out. Yeah. And like community college. Mm-hmm. I understand the fact that like there is exactly what you're saying. Like there should be more time between figuring out what you want to do. Though I do find going to school is a great way to do it, but it's fucking expensive. Like the idea that you're going to spend 4+ years and go to like $200,000 in debt to try and figure out what you want to do. Mm-hmm. It's not feasible for everybody. So doing like online classes or community college to find out what you really love.
Because, or volunteer work too.
Yeah.
You can do volunteer in pretty much any field. There's like, for example, I do like Big Brothers and Big Sisters. And if I wanted to help with marketing there, I could. So it's just do volunteer work and figure out, that can also help with figuring out what you want to do.
Yeah. Because you got to just, there's the dropping out of college part. Like I'm so glad you're feeling like confident and like great about it. But like, by no means, like, I don't want you to think like that's like there's
the answer.
No, it's not. There's still much. So, and especially like if you did go through a really rough time that like caused you to have like a mental breakdown there, you also need to focus on that. Like there's not really a cure all for kind of having when you have like a breakdown and a meltdown like that. Like if you get yourself out of the situation, it can be, it's exponentially better, but you still have to do a lot of like healing and figuring that stuff out. And yeah, the road's not done. And to be totally honest, it's hella fucking lonely. Like all of my friends were in college and like, I was going back to like my friends' date parties and being like, yeah, I'll be your date to date party. Like, and they all had I felt super left out because they had this whole experience that I desperately wanted to have that didn't work out for me. And I was watching them live that. And then I was there being like, cool, I have to pay my utility bill. I have to pay all of this other stuff. And I just don't want you to regress back to like a high school kind of mentality of being like, I wasn't ready for college yet. So I kind of just want to go back and do like, and like live at home. And like, I don't know what I want to do. You have to take the same steps of like falling on your fucking face that you do when you're 18, 19 in college and just apply that to wherever that needs to be for you now and figure out what you want to do that way. But it's not going to, it's not going to just come to you. Like, you're going to have to work at it and try it and figure it out.
I think, the experience is like your greatest teacher. So don't shy away from any situation that doesn't have maybe like an end goal. Mm-hmm. Like, if sometimes it helped me to think about people who I admired or who do something that really excites me, even if I didn't have the skill for it yet, but to almost like study them. Yeah. And if you're lucky enough, be able to maybe intern for them, mm-hmm. or really just like get by their side and understand what it took to get there. And most likely it's an unconventional path, which is exciting. And just finding those like expanders for you, so that like you can see yourself in them. Mm-hmm. And I think you are an expander for people in that way. So I know you don't recommend dropping out of college. I understand that. But the fact that you are an entrepreneur and that you've created this from a low point, or mm-hmm. what you felt like a low point dropping out of school, is incredible. And it's incredible for people to say like, wow, I kind of feel the same way. And she's been able to, not to say that it's been easy, but yeah. I think what's so incredible now in this day and age, like, you can be an entrepreneur.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And there are so many resources for women, especially, I'm just seeing because it's in front of me, like, to be entrepreneurs online, on, you know, like digitally, like just being very creative. And so I would get dirty in it and just know that like, you don't have to know what it is, but I think you'll be getting clues and messages all along as you do the work.
Yeah.
So you have to do the work. You can't just wait for something to arrive. You really have to do the work in order to get the messages.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's true.
What makes you happy right now, or the idea of what makes you happy, might not be that. And that's the thing, when you're kind of like your own boss and your own, you have all this control, because college, as much as independence, like, it's very structured independence. Yes. Yes. Now that this is all on you, you have to push yourself out of your own comfort zones. Like, you have to do stuff that you might not really, like, oh, this doesn't seem that fun. This doesn't seem that cool. Doesn't matter. Like, you dropped out of college. You got to fucking try it now. Mm-hmm. Like, you have to push yourself to do all of those things, because that's how you end up finding the things that you like. Usually the stuff that you dream about and you fantasize about, you try it one time. You're like, fuck this. This is terrible. I hate it. Yeah. And the way that college pushes you out of your comfort zone, you have to do that for yourself. And that was something that that was like a struggle, super struggle for me. And I mean, that's how I like made a lot of like my friends in LA. Was like one of my best friends, Lily, you guys know Lily. I had no friends in LA. I had terrible social anxiety, but here I am being like, do you want to have no friends? Like, you have to fucking do it. And I remember asking her to like hang out after we did a work thing together one time. And she was like, sure, cool, whatever. And I was like, oh, really? Yeah, she doesn't like, she's like, this is not as big of a deal to her as it was to me.
Yeah.
But like, if I had never done that, like, but if we had been in class together at school, it probably would have naturally happened. I would have had to talk to her because we had to do a project together, but you have to put yourself in those uncomfortable positions, which is really hard to do. But you got to do it. And then I think on a day to day, get a planner and like fill your fucking days with shit to like learn. Take a coding class, take a Photoshop class, be an intern, like do all of these
Skillshare
things.
Skillshare is amazing.
Love True. Skillshare. Yeah. Oh. And like do all of that stuff, figure out. And then through all of that, like get a job, get something that forces you to wake up in the morning, because as depressed as I was in school, and I have like clinical depression, but like situational depression that I experienced in college, I thought I would leave and it would get better, but there's a sense of loneliness there.
Yes.
And you also need to like, don't let whatever happened there that made you feel like you wanted to drop out, which don't fault you for it all, because I did the exact same thing. You can't let that follow you. Yeah. Like, you need to then take control and do all these other things and fill your day and focus on what you want to do. And maybe that means that you need to take a couple more, maybe it means you need a degree. Like, you're going to intern for somebody or be like an apprentice to someone. Well, I hate the word apprentice now.
Right? You're fired.
Yeah. You're fired. But then you'll find out that they're like, you know what, if you want to move up in this sector of like whatever this job is, like, you're going to need to get a degree and you can get that done. Like,
yeah. I mean, and even for me, like, I finished school, but, I got a degree in something that I'm not working in at all. My degree's in biology. So it's like, once I figured out what I want to do, I happened upon it when I just took a class for fun, a screenwriting class. And then after that, I
came out here and worked on student films, like a bunch of them, to figure out if that's exactly what I wanted to do. So you just got to put yourself out there and see and try things. Just try new things.
You're allowed to fuck up and fall on your face, even though you consider dropping out of college kind of a failure. I felt like I was under a microscope, A, because I was like in the public eye, so people knew, but also with my friends and family, like it, I also wasn't super forthcoming about why I dropped out for a while. Cause like everyone's like, oh, she's like crushing it on YouTube and Instagram. That's why. And so I felt like I kind of had to be, I was kind of like, I felt like I was a success story already, even though I'm like, you don't know why I dropped out. It was not because I was like crushing it and successful, but you're allowed to fail post that. Like you're allowed to like, don't let anyone tell you that like, oh, if you take an internship, you better like really like this job, or you better really like this job, because you can't like quit everything that you can't keep quitting everything halfway through. Cause that queen, me, never finished, like never did any fucking sports team. I'd do one day and I'd be like, hate this, done. You're allowed to like figure out what you want to do by trial and error. And if you put so much time and effort, like thinking about it and researching without any like in-person practice work with anything like that, you're going to get there with whatever job you've decided is your dream job, and you're going to hate it.
Yeah.
You have to let yourself fall on your face a bunch of times and make mistakes. And even if it feels like you're the only one doing that because your friends are in college, A, they're falling on their face in college because they're drunk, but they're also making mistakes all the time. And then they'll graduate college. And I don't know any single one of my friends who is working in the major that they had. Like, there are so many.
Maybe the finance guys.
Literally nobody. Like, there are so many career shifts. And I have like friends who even in their like mid to late 20s are having career shifts and things like that. Totally. And you're kind of just a little bit, you're in the real world now. And they're in that like pseudo real world of college. So you kind of just got to figure out there. Plus, what last thing I would say, get a job with other young people. So I had my friend, when she dropped out of school, she had always worked in retail, went back to her retail job, and she was able to have friends her age who were also in the same place that she was. Cause like, you can't just hang, I don't know if your parents are in the picture, but you can't just hang out with them. Nope. You can't try and create a secondary community that's not just going back to like your high school friend group and that stuff. So create like an adult life wherever you're living now, if it's the place that you had your like teen child life. So you can have responsibilities, friends, and you create your own social circle. So you're not feeling as left out, which I did not do. And I would highly recommend it because I was so lonely. Mm,
it is lonely. Yeah. And I just would say like, don't, settling sends the wrong message to like your life. Like whoever is listening, whatever you believe in, God, universe, whatever you believe in, it's just like, it's sending the wrong message, whether it's in relationships, career, any choice. Just, I think you not settling for something that does not align with what your values are or what you want to do is a really good start. So just keep doing that. And I mean, you know.
Yeah. Okay. Are we on to the next?
Oh, yeah.
I am 21 years old. Okay. Long story short, hopefully, I met my career, my husband, in when I was 14 years old, fell in love with him, was crazy. We broke up. He got together with this stupid girl, broke up, and then we got back together. We got married. And then he's in the Navy, so we got stationed like 4,000 miles away from where I am from, which is Arkansas. And basically, not even a year into our marriage, he decided to text his ex-girlfriend, and I caught him doing that. He basically told her how much he loved her and how he could, you know, not ever love me as much as he loved her, yada, yada. And the thing is that we looked literally exactly alike, and we would probably be best friends if I didn't hate her fucking guts. So then about a year or two goes by. We try to get over that, but you know, it bothers me. I have a depression disorder and anxiety. So that just gets worse and worse. And then finally he goes home and he cheats on me. Didn't find out that he cheated on me until later on, but then he decided that when he came home from his trip from Arkansas, he wanted a divorce. So I found out he was cheating on me afterwards, with a girl that's 4,000 miles away. So, basically, we, you know, we left each other. I went back home for 6 months. And then he decided, he's like, hey, you know, I'm coming home. Can we talk? Blah, blah, blah. And so he came and we talked. And, you know, I was never over him because, you know, I've been in love with him since I was 14, which is probably stupid, but, you know. So we got back together. And now I am living in Washington. I've been living in Washington for about 5 months now. But the thing is that, you know, this whole situation, like, I still worry about him talking to her, and it still hurts. Like, I still think about it all the time because, you know, he lied to me over and over again, and it's just kind of hard to know the truth. So, I guess my question is, how do you get over it? Or can you get over it? I really appreciate you, and I hope this gets on air. It's my second call, so, I love what you're doing, and I've watched you since I was, like, 12, so... thank you.
Thank you so much for all those years that you've watched me and so loved me. You might hate me for saying this, and other people might hate me for saying this. I know you've been in love with him since you were 14, but he sounds like a fucking idiot. And like
100%.
There's no part of this call in which we started going to couples counseling. He's like realized that he's all of these issues with this. And like, we've been able to move past it. Like, we didn't get back together until I was fully over it. Like,
he apologized.
Like, even that, something yeah. as simple as that, that wasn't here. And even if you want to call back and say that that happened, the fact that that's not in your initial call. Mm.
And your call was like 3 minutes long.
And so. It's like a checked out kind of mentality. Mm-hmm. You don't want us to like him. You're not painting him as a good guy. Depending on if this episode comes out before or after the girl who described the guy who murdered somebody as being a good Christian man, she could even defend a murderer. And you're not even like trying to talk up wow. your husband in a way that's not going to make us hate him. So your subconscious wants us to tell you that he's a fucking dick. He's going to do this again. You deserve better, and that you need to get out of the situation. Otherwise, you would have desperately tried to tell us how good of a guy he is, which we've had. Mm-hmm. We've had people call in with cheating issues and the defending their significant other as they talk about it. And the fact that you didn't do that you're not, you have no reason to get over this because he has not given you one at all. Any sort of like prolonged lie or any sort of cheating like that, that's for an extended period of time. That's not a mistake. That's not like a one-time thing. No. And that's also because it's long distance. We've said this so many times. You only know so little of the whole truth of it. Mm-hmm. And you have nobody, because he's in the Navy. Is that what it was?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You have nobody on your side, like defending you or looking out for you from where he is. So the only truth that you find out and you know, you have no one to cross-reference and check that with to know if like, is this all that there is? Anyone who's comfortable, like, I mean, I'm personally usually a believer in like once a cheater, kind always a cheater. But even in instances where that's not true, that's because those people have moved past that before they started again. And yes. You guys didn't do that.
Yeah. And the thing is, too, with this girl that he cheated on you with, it wasn't even like he went back home to Arkansas. Yeah. To cheat on her.
Yeah.
Cheat on you with her.
It's not just physical, because he texted her that he like that was a complete emotional thing. The shit that he said to her about you isn't just to get a girl into bed. No. Like, that's not the shit that you say. Mm-mm. If he just wanted to like get his dick wet, there's fucking vaginas everywhere. The fact that he went to somebody who knows he's married, who knows you, I'm assuming knows you because she's been an issue.
Yeah. And you guys have been together since you were 14.
Yes.
So how old were they when they were dating?
Yeah. Oh,
I just, yeah. Wow. 14 is such a formative time. Yeah. If I think about myself, I'm sure you can think about yourself at that time.
Yeah. Transition lenses.
So you are actually, I think like, actually living from that 14-year-old subconscious. Yeah. Like mm-hmm. it's there. I don't know if you've allowed yourself to kind of move on from there, because I don't think he is the type of guy to help you evolve. And that's okay. Like, I mean, I do believe that people come into your life for a reason and you're supposed to learn certain lessons for a reason. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry this happened because it's heartbreaking. However, he is telling you very clearly through his actions, yeah, how much he cares about you and how much he respects you. And I don't know you, but you deserve so much better than that. Mm-hmm. And I can just, I've talked about this on my podcast, but I cheated on my long-term boyfriend and it was very, although, you know, circumstances are different, I didn't want to be in the relationship and I was acting out.
Yeah, it's a self-sabotage.
It was a complete self-sabotage. Yeah. In my case, it happened like a little bit later in my life. And for me, now I know how to communicate in the moment. For him, mm-hmm, maybe to sit you down and just say like, listen, like my heart is not in this anymore. Like I'm so sorry. I can't even describe why, but, and like the sequence of events to make cheating happen just means he has zero tools to be able to communicate with you. So I just, it's not worth it to, I don't think it's worth it to make it work.
It's not, because this is kind of like with my friends, I will say when they're dealing with like shitty boyfriends and stuff, which I'm like the first one to tell my friends, like the guy you're dating is, I usually try and get it in before they're official so I can like say it right off the bat.
Is
a fucking loser and is treating you like shit, and you really need a fucking friend to talk to this about. And if you guys have had issues before, which I've had that struggle where I've had a hard time opening up to my friends because I've dated people who've like done some super shitty things and then we've moved past it, but then I get self-conscious talking about issues.
Yes, yes.
Your friends love you regardless. If the guy who's treating you well, your friends will be able to decipher like what is a serious issue. And then your good friends will also, like my friends, Aislinn will constantly, if I complain about Mots with something, Aislinn sometimes will just be like, no, okay, I feel like this, no, you're being fucking annoying. And I'm like, oh, this is my fault? She's like, yeah, it's your fault. And I'm like, oh, but you're my friend. Why are you telling me that totally. It's my fault? But that's like what a good friend will do. So you really need to talk to your friends about this. You need some good girlfriends. And I think the isolation issue with you being like going along with him, him in the Navy is also another reason why he feels like he can treat you like shit, because he feels like you're an accessory. The thing I was saying before, the story that you just told us is not the fucking story you will hear a grandparent ever tell anyone about how they met their husband or wife. Nobody has, this is not a happy ending. This is not a good story. You will not meet a couple who's like, well, yeah, and then he cheated on me. You tell me he didn't love me. And now we've been happy and married for like 45 years and it never happened again. This isn't a story of how two people get together. This is like the story. This is the first 20 minutes of a romantic comedy. The girl's heartbroken. She goes to a coffee shop. She like lives her life. She dyes her hair. She meets somebody else. She takes a yoga class. And like, that's what this is like. This is the beginning of a movie. This is not the fucking happy end. And you just, any other person that you've been with or you'll be with, this won't happen. Like this isn't the typical shit that you deal with in a relationship. They're like, oh no, everyone says relationships are hard. Yes, relationships are hard, but like this isn't the pile of shit that you have to deal with, nor should you deal with at all.
Completely.
And if you love him and you care about him, which this is like the other like reverse way of giving you this advice, if like you're not going to take that advice, if you love him and you care about him, you're doing him a disservice by letting him treat you like this, because you're making him into a shitty person, which that sounds like a harsh thing of saying like you are doing this, because you're not. He's putting himself in this position, but you're allowing him to treat you a certain way, which therefore makes him think that he can be that guy. And that's a shitty guy. And do you want that for him? Like, do you want him to be do you want him to have happiness? I fucking don't, because I think he's an asshole. But like, if you still really have this love and these feelings for him, then preserve him as a person and don't accept this shitty behavior, because I promise you, hopefully when you guys break up, which, oh my God, if you lived in California, I will come help you pack your shit up in the middle of the night.
People walk around just shirtless here.
Yes. Oh my God. I will help you. I won't be good at taking you out, but I bet we can find people who will take you out. And like you're not going to find somebody else who's dealing with this. And then he dates another girl after this. They're not going to put up with this shit. Like don't be the one who don't look back on this and realize how much time you spent on somebody who wasn't giving you the time of day. And exactly like you were saying, like he's telling you exactly how he feels about you via text message to his ex and showing you with his actions. And those in the moments, it's the moments in which he's not under the microscope and he's not looking over his shoulder as how he truly feels about you. Not when he knows you're paying attention, not when he's in the doghouse, not when he's trying to earn you back. How he treats you when you think everything is going okay, that's how he's going to treat you forever. Not when he's trying to win you back. That's not, you can't just like make a 180 when you know that shit's hitting the fan. Like that's not how it works. You have to treat me well you have to treat me well when I'm not asking you to do it. That's what it needs to be. I fucking hate this guy so goddamn much.
And I can imagine you're scared to be by yourself and single. And yeah. I've been single for a long time now and it's been the most transformative time in my life. And I'm not saying everyone has to be single for a long time or, be single, but it's more so what you do with it. So I really think this is an opportunity for you to get to know yourself a little bit better, do things you haven't been able to do or focus on because you've been so wrapped up in his life and moving for him and being with him. It is really an opportunity. And I'm actually very excited for you if you do break up with him. This is like the beginning of your life. It's the beginning of your life. So
yeah,
it's there.
You leaps and bounds. You mature as a human when you're single. Like the amount I took a break from dating because I've just gotten into like a terrible cycle of dating terrible people. And I took a break for like almost 2 years where I didn't, I think I went on one date.
Yeah.
And I think that actually the end of like the 2 years, but I think I took a year and a half, not a single date, not texting, like nothing, like not hooking up with anybody, like dry as fuck in my vagina. I mean, I'm was good with an myself. But
like, you were learning yourself more.
Loving myself.
Yeah.
But I grew up so fucking much. And I also was able to like completely like strip all of these ideas that I had of like the people that I was dating, because when you start settling for shitty behavior, I went from one relationship to another and I would realize that like, oh, okay, I'm better than this. But then I would let someone else treat me like shit in a way that was only slightly less terrible and then terrible in a different way for something else. And so I was just gotten so accustomed to that, that I was like, I need to cleanse myself of this. So I go in with fresh eyes and I like know how to be treated. And I'm not looking for anything like that. Like exactly like you said, like the time that you spend single is you grow up twice as fast as you do if you're with somebody else, because you have to, like, you have to become like a self-sufficient person. You have to really like understand why you do the things that you do and how to like change and better yourself at the same time. And yeah. And I just think about like, not to be like a cheesy romantic, cause I'm not, but like, I think about the person that you're supposed to be with. That just like living their life in the world as you're like wasting your time with this guy. And you could be going along in the rest of your life journey of being single and then meeting someone else and then being so happy. And then being like, why did I waste that much time? Like the more time you waste on that guy, the longer it's going to be until you are with that person who you're supposed to be. Cause it's not this fucking guy.
Yeah.
Not at all.
It shouldn't be this hard.
It should not be this hard. God, I want to give us an update. Let us know if any other callers who are listening have had any some situation similar to this. Would love for your advice. Call back in a feedback so she can hear it from not just me and you and us, so she can hear it from other people. Hopefully like the success story other side would be great. And if you need a girlfriend, DM me on Instagram. I'm around.
So sweet.
On to the next. Or is it time for
listeners'
advice? We're workshopping the title.
And the jingle.
Yep. Well, I mean, it's like the same segment, but different.
Yeah, we're just trying to
keep it fresh.
Keep it fresh. Keep it real.
I love that. Yeah. It's when listeners call back with advice. Sometimes it's counter or sometimes it's agreeing with the advice that we gave from other callers.
Yeah. Maybe someone else murdered somebody and they have that advice.
I love that. Collect some murders.
Honestly. I'm waiting for us to have,
Well, we haven't had someone that's who actually like a listener murdered. That murdered.
No, but. Had like a, I was going to say like a fangirl murder. Like one of the people who like shows up like Ted Bundy, like writes some letters and marries him in jail. I don't think she listens anymore because I was very mean.
So the original call was from the episode with Andrea Russett. And the caller that she's married and has a kid and wants to get out of her relationship or is thinking sexually about sex with other guys.
Yeah. Okay. She was feeling like she didn't get to explore sexually and she missed out and she felt like she still loved her husband.
Yeah.
And felt like he got all that crazy phase.
Because they started dating when they were pretty young.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so this is somebody else who has their own advice.
So I'm 23. I'm married. I have a kid. I've been with my husband. We dated for 7 years before getting married. And I actually went through this exact same thing right after we got married. And I didn't want to explain it to my husband and talk to him about it because I knew it would kill him. And I knew that it would absolutely hurt him hearing that. But before we were married and while we were engaged, he actually went through that. And I've always been that I want to settle down. I don't want to have fun type of person. And he's more of the let me see how many girls I can fuck kind of guy. He's changed. He's a great guy. So he went through that. We were engaged. And it hurt me. So I can only imagine how much me saying that after we were married, it hurting him. And when he talked to me about it, he was just scared. He was just really scared of making that commitment. And I know the caller mentioned about how now he wants to have another kid. Well, I would say after we got married, and I started feeling all that stuff, and I was thinking, well, what did I do? Like, what if I did the wrong thing? Like, I love him, and ultimately I want to be with him, stay with him, and I want to be with the family with these two people. But what if I didn't make the right decision for me? I ended up just telling my husband, I was like, hey, I just need some time alone for the weekend, so I'm going to go hang out with some friends. And what I actually did was I went and I lied to him, and I went and just got a hotel room. Like, I went and just had coffee with myself for, and lunch, dinner with myself. And I just really took that time to think to myself. And it didn't hurt anybody that I lied because it helped me. It helped me a lot. And I think I just realized that I was, like, kind of scared. And I was scared that I just committed my whole life to this one person. And what if I missed out? But ultimately, I talked to myself and was like, if you messed this up, you would never be able to forgive yourself. And if you chose the option of wanting to have fun, or so to say, you would never forgive yourself for missing out on the person that you do genuinely love and the child that you want to raise together. And putting those kind of options between each other really made a big impact on me. It made me realize what I actually wanted and what I didn't want. And it was just, ultimately, I really think it was just a phase, and it was just a phase that I was scared about. And talking about having another kid is really serious, and the fact that the woman has to go through everything and the guy doesn't, and the woman
cut out, but okay. You got the gist of it.
Yeah. Oh my God, what a nice weekend alone.
That is my life.
Would you do that by yourself? I feel like
I do it every
like to be so emotionally stable.
No, I mean, I wouldn't say that at all, but I do know I do it every year for my birthday because, one, I just don't like when people are like, what are we doing for your birthday?
What's your sign?
I'm like, Virgo.
Oh, okay.
But I'm Gemini moon.
That makes sense.
But I mean, that's beautiful. That's what I'm talking about. Yeah. Like spending time by yourself, because I think as women, we're so nurturing. We're so worried about how other people are doing and feeling that we forget to like tune in and be like, hey, how are you? And she like spent time by herself and she's like, I'm scared.
Yeah.
I'm scared. So like, then you can move from there instead of like this alternate reality where you're just kind of floating and like free falling. Mm-hmm. I think alone time really grounds me at least. And I think that's really, really good advice. I don't know if it's going to produce the same answers for everyone, but
I think you're exactly right with that because even the first caller and this caller too, both were saying, they were married or they're married and they have a kid. And you feel women, like you said, we're inherently like wanting to take care of everybody else and putting everybody else before us. And when you're staring at your kid and you're staring at your husband and the house that you're in and the life that you're living, you're like, do I want to fuck this up? I can't think about this. This is me being selfish. You need to get the fuck out of that house.
Yes.
Don't look. And that's what Andrea and I had even said, like, our advice, we're like, have a girl's weekend, like get away. And then be able to be like, okay, I'm away from this situation. I don't have these responsibilities. Let me think about this now with a clear head where I don't feel this sort of like pressure. And then at the same time, the pressure on either end, it's either this is the pressure that's making you feel like you have to stay, but then also the pressure of being like, oh, I'm here right now. Oh my God, what if I don't want to stay? And you walk away and you're like, oh no, I do. Like, I do want that, but I just felt like put into a corner and I wanted to make the choice for myself as opposed, like, well, one of the scariest things ever is just feeling like you don't have a choice. And then when you think about the fact that you do, half the time you're probably going to choose what you already had, but you're like, oh, I wanted to be the one to choose it.
Yeah.
I didn't want to feel like it was expected of me. And our original advice to her too was we thought some of the kind of resentment and jealousy she felt for her husband's like being able to had hooked up with all these other girls is the fact that like maybe, and even this girl saying the same thing of like, women have to do so much more when it comes to kids. And like, maybe there's a resentment with like a parenting and feeling like you're so much more responsible. But I think also like, I'm not married, but I don't want to get divorced if I got married, but I'm also not afraid of that. Yeah. Like, I think like there, I don't really necessarily believe in soulmates or one person for like everybody. I think like, it's the same reason why like monogamy doesn't work for everybody. Like, we all grow and change and evolve. And like, you can have really fantastic, wonderful relationships, whether they're just like boyfriend, girlfriend, or girlfriend, girl, like any like queer, straight, whatever. You can have great relationships that can satiate you, and you can love them for a certain period of your life. They don't have to blow up. They don't have to be terrible and end in an awful way. You can both grow and move on into different things. And I think people think about marriage in that sense of like, well, am I going to be happy like 30 years down the road? And also as a kid of like parents who aren't, I mean, like my parents aren't together anymore, but like, even with that, like, I think my parents fear very much like, oh, I don't want to fuck up my kids' lives with all of this kind of stuff. Everybody just wants you to be happy. And I think you only need to know what's going to make you happy right now. And if it, like, who knows what's going to make you happy in 5 to 10 years, but if you go into every relationship wondering if you're still going to be happy in like 30 years, it's a self-fulfilling prophecy. You're probably not going to be happy. But if you just enjoy it and like obviously plan for the future, I'm not saying like, who cares if you get divorced, but don't be so afraid of those things, because I think when we're really afraid of change, then I find that we change in a way we don't necessarily want to. Like, you just kind of can get like hardened and bitter, which
totally.
Like, I totally am bitter, but in certain aspects. But I think like, yeah, you just need to focus on how you feel, and that's also going to make you be the best mom and the best partner and everything.
Totally. And just knowing that like, you are in control. You can change your relationship and kind of inject new energy and life into it whenever you choose to. You know, like, I think people think when they get married or they have kids, it's just supposed to go a certain way. Like, what if like you got a babysitter and came home and were like, babe, I am like, alter ego time, like did some crazy shit. And he's like, huh? And then that kind of like inspires something in him. So like, we're always in control of that stuff. So I just think, you know, being more playful in that way.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you guys are still young too.
Yeah, I know. I feel so behind. I'm
31.
Colors.
I don't know what I'm doing.
Wow. Well, that's it for our episode. Thank you so much for being on, Lindsay.
Thanks for having me.
You gave great advice.
You give great advice.
You seem so emotionally stable.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
I was in a fucking puddle yesterday.
Oh, really?
For no reason.
And now you're not a puddle. You're ice, fine. Right? Or you're.
Are you but it's just, I'm very like, I'm very just like introspective lately. I feel like a little alien, like floating around the world.
My people.
Oh, she's, you know what I mean? Melissa's an alien.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you're an alien too. I can tell when I walked up.
She doesn't have a belly button.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Yeah, like Kyle XY.
Wait, like a cat? Like, who doesn't have a belly button?
Kyle XY. Great show. It's actually a terrible show, but I love it. Yeah. Well, thank you so much. Plug your podcast and your solo endeavors.
Oh, thanks. I host the Almost 30 podcast with Krista Williams. You can find it anywhere you can listen to podcasts. It's a blast. We have to have you on, obviously.
Oh my gosh. I've been binging it in my car.
Thank you. That means a lot. I'm an actress and writing and just kind of navigating this planet and figuring everything out along with everyone. You know what I mean? Just like learning so much right now. So much. I feel very lucky. I love being here in LA. I think everyone, it inspires me that everyone's kind of doing a lot of things. You know, I just am like, everyone's kind of an expander for me. And I'm just like, I'm grooving.
Love it. Grooving. Grooving, we need to use that more. Are we grooving? We're grooving.
I love this team. You guys are a great team.
Oh, aren't we the best?
It's like very good energy.
We're pretty fucking cool. Yeah.
It's really good.
It's all girls. No boys allowed.
Duh.
As I say, it's hard being the superior species.
Right. It is hard.
It is. We have a lot to carry. Children, lots of things.
Tits.
Not all children, though. Not all women carry children. But if you guys want to check out Melissa and I, our socials will be listed down below. And if you want to call into the podcast, you need some advice, give us a call at 310-694-0976. And international listeners, you can email us at meganpodcast@gmail.com. If you guys want to check out our website, don't blame me.show. And our Instagram, if you guys want to check that out, don't blame meme pod.
Yeah, we've got special announcements on there. So make sure you follow us.
Check it out. And we will see you guys. Oh, guys, also, if you're watching this on YouTube, my shirt is available at shopmarty.com. And if you are just listening to this and you want to watch it, we're on YouTube right now. I mean, well,
yes,
right. I mean, I was gonna say right now, like actively, but like at this, they're uploaded at the same time. And then vice versa. If you watch on YouTube, please subscribe to us on the podcast app or SoundCloud, wherever you get your podcast.
Stitcher.
Listen to both.
Stitcher.
Oh, Stitcher. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Guys, listen to it everywhere. You can listen to it twice a week, three times a week. The same episode over and over. Listen to it full speed, half speed.
Take notes.
Zoomed? No, sped up. There okay, guys, I'll stop blabbing. We'll check you out next week. Goodbye.
Thanks, bye. Bye.
Don't Blame Me is a production by me, produced, directed, and edited by Melissa DeMons. Post-production sound by Chris Henry, production assistant Julie Carley, and music by Giacomo Picasso and Ryan Hunter. I'll see you guys next week, and don't blame me if your life, you know, completely fucks up before then. Oh.